We live in an era where we go to churches that sometimes don't bring out all the attributes of God and the triune God, that we want people to feel good when they come to church. And so we think about, you know, God is love, which he is. Jesus is your friend, which he is. So all those things are true, but they are not the end of the story. And I think it's good every once in a while to take a step back and remember that this God that we call friend also created the universe. He is enormous and he is awesome. And so I think it's really good to lift out his kingship over everything. Hi, this is Holly and welcome to Study with Friends. Today we're studying a really broad perspective on the themes that we see throughout the Old Testament. The five themes that we're studying are covenant, kingship, grace, sacrifice, and prophecy. And we're learning together how to meditate on each passage in the context of one of those themes and understand how we see Jesus as Lord, something that points to our salvation, or God as our Father, and learning about those three really big things in the context of each of these five themes. So it's a five-part series. You can listen to this one again or any of the others at studywithfriends.org. That's studywithfriends.org. You can listen anytime. This is part two of a series of those themes, and today's theme is kingship. So let's get started. So kingship is the second theme that I lifted out in the Old Testament. Again, these are subcategories of our three big hitters in the Old Testament. And I'll say it again. Every scripture, every segment of the Old Testament does one of three things. It either points you to Jesus Christ, shows you our need for salvation, or teaches you about the character of God our Father. Every single scripture in the Old Testament does that. Now, okay, you can lift one verse out, but you have to take it in the context. Don't take it out of the neighborhood. If you're not sure about one verse, read the rest of that chapter. See if you can figure it out from there. But again, Jesus, pointing to Jesus Christ, pointing to our need for salvation, or teaching us about God as our Father. That is the global purpose of the Old Testament. Inside those global purposes, we see some of the character of God, and one of those is kingship. Let's talk about kingship. Before we look at the verses, tell me what kingship, when I say kingship or lordship, what does that mean to you?
Authority.
In charge.
Mm-hmm.
In control.
That's so interesting. Yes, of course, yeah. those that's what that means. When I think about kingship and lordship, I feel relief. Because I feel like, oh, that means that I don't have to be in charge.
Yeah.
Someone more capable, more able has authority and control. And what was it that you said?
In charge.
Yeah, is in charge. That's relieving to me. I'm thankful for his lordship.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. I really am.
You feel safe.
Yeah.
It eliminates some stress.
Yeah. If I can, you know. So, you know, the constant problem is reminding myself that I'm not in control, reminding myself that I don't need to have it all figured out and that I don't need to have all the answers. I definitely struggle with that wrestling for control, but in my best, most, you know, spirit filled moments, I rest in that lordship because I'm just so thankful. Like, his plan is better. I'm such an idiot. I can't possibly have a good plan. I think my best plans, you know how that is. Like, you're like, oh man, I had a plan. Yes. That was a bad plan. At the time I made it, I thought it was a good plan. It
seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yes, exactly. And so I feel I'm comforted by kingship. So let's talk a little bit about kingship. We have three verses we're going to look at there. Shay, will you start with Daniel 6:26?
Sure. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end.
Mm. Okay. I feel like we need a little bit of background on that. So I skirted over it. So
yeah.
So in the Old Testament, there's a story about a man named Daniel who was an Israelite, which means he was a Jew, and he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Along with thousands of his people and taken to Babylon. and forced to be slaves there. Daniel was wise, and so he had a place in the king's court. But, you know, because he was loved by the king, you know, that's politically always someone wants to stab you in the back. So some other folks decided to hang him, you know, by his fingernails because of his belief in God. And the king was like, oh, yeah, I should be the only one that anyone ever worships. So, yeah, that's true. Don't let anybody pray to anybody but me. And then Daniel was found to pray to the God of Israel, as he still should. And he was thrown into the lion's den as a result. That was his punishment. Of course, the expectation is that would be a death sentence. But when the king came back, he found that Daniel had been unharmed, which he knew unquestionably meant that Daniel was protected by something bigger than what they could see or feel or touch. And so the king made a 180 and he said, will you read that verse again?
I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end.
Yeah. So the king makes a change. And what does that tell you about? Wow, this is interesting. Let's unpack this just a tiny bit. Mm. What does that tell you about? I didn't, this is totally spontaneous. What does that tell you about human kingship and heavenly kingship? Would you contrast those? Because here we have a king, a human king, deferring to the heavenly king. So tell me a little bit about that. What do you think about that juxtaposition?
To give up his own authority is very interesting, because that authority they believed was like a spiritual authority too, not just a I'm in charge like the president, but these people are supposed to be worshiping me.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So to hand that over so willingly.
It's dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Jan?
Just that the heavenly king and the earthly king have two different agendas, two different motives.
Mm-hmm.
One is self-serving, and the other is for your good.
Mm-hmm.
So the king that saw the awesomeness of Daniel's God said, I want in on this.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what motivated him.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted in on something that clearly was better than anything he knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's good.
I also think it defines our flesh and the awesomeness of God, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything that the flesh stands for in that fleshly king.
Say more about that.
Oh, please.
when you say flesh, you mean like my selfish stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I just mean in our humanness, right? In our humanness, it's, and I'm sure, you know, not obviously not knowing much about this king, but, you know, like most humans, if you're in charge and you're the authority, it's going to be all about you. And you're not going to really look at the overall arching blessing that God does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
is there's a phrase that people say, it says absolute power corrupts absolutely. Which they mean it to say, if you give someone absolute power, the human response to that will be absolute corruption.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And that's
exactly
what we see all through the Old Testament, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit in the current day too.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
We see people across the globe who have had power and been completely corrupted. And so that shows you a little bit about how, as humans, like I said before, we can't even handle our own agenda. Like, we can't, no matter how big or small, my agenda might only be my agenda might only impact my own life. Or if I have power, if I'm a person in authority, my agenda might impact thousands or millions. At the end of the day, we're not equipped as humans to manage that agenda. The only appropriate management of the course of human history is done by God.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my thought on that. Okay. More on that particular verse. Anybody?
I just love if you back up to verse 23 when it says the king was overjoyed when he finds out that Daniel's still alive. That's my favorite.
I know. I love that too.
I love that so much.
Like, yeah. I'm glad you brought that out.
What that experience must have been like for him.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Because I think that there's a sense in that story that the other advisors who were looking to stab Daniel in the back had a little bit trapped the king, because we do see a love between the king and Daniel and that the king is fond of Daniel, and that he just feels backed into a corner and has to throw his friend into the lion's den because he made this law. But then in the face of the supernatural intervention, he does reverse the law, which is great. Yeah, I love that too. Of course, I always think of the VeggieTales version.
Yes. Hey, we're moms.
Because I watched it 7,000 times with my children. But you know what? There's worse things you can watch 7,000 times.
It's okay.
So should we sing? Oh, no, what you gonna do? The king likes Daniel more than me and you. Oh, no, what we gonna do? We gotta get him out of here. That's that's the VeggieTales song. Go get that on.
Good stuff.
I'm sure it's on DVD or Netflix.
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
So how about a second verse on kingship? Romy, do you want to do Psalm 95, 3 through 6, talking about kingship? And then remind us again how this points us to Jesus or our need for salvation, or teaches us about God our Father.
Okay, I will do my best. Psalm 95, 3 through 6. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Well, clearly, I mean, without overcomplicating it, I mean, he made it all. Everything belongs to him. He is our creator. He put it all together, and this is all his. I mean, I don't know if there's something more deep you're looking for. But
you know, don't overthink it.
Yeah. As
yeah, this
king
is,
and Lord.
Yeah, so
is his stuff.
I think that's some people might find that easy to forget, that God is huge. It's an interesting thing. I have to tell you something. Probably 2 or 3 years ago now, Sophia, my youngest, was learning something about Jesus in school, and we were talking about Jesus as our friend. And that's a super common theme that we teach our children, right? That Jesus is your friend. And I don't know, Holy Spirit prompting or just mom moment, but I said to her, what do you think about classifying Jesus as our friend? What do you think about that? And she said, I have to give her all the credit, or the Holy Spirit in her. She said, I think it's really good to think of Jesus as our friend, but it's really bad to think of that as all he is, which I thought was really wise. Mm-hmm. We live in an era where we go to churches that sometimes don't bring out all the attributes of God and the triune God, that we want people to feel good when they come to church. And so we think about, you know, God is love, which he is. Jesus is your friend, which he is. He says it in the Bible that a man greater love have no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. So all those things are true, but they are not the end of the story. And I think it's good every once in a while to take a step back and remember that this God that we call friend also created the universe. He is enormous. And he is awesome. And for us to put him in a box that makes him feel like a buddy, even if I somehow did that when I said he wants us to know him and he wants us to be like we are with our best friends, I'm not trying to put him in a box that way. We shouldn't put him in a box that way. What I mean by that is that he wants intimacy with us like a best friend, but that's not all he is. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really good to lift out his kingship over creation, over the universe, over everything, time, everything. And so, no, I wasn't looking for anything more complicated than that, because sometimes you got to just keep it simple to remember how huge he is. Not to forget that. We think about, oh, Jesus, you know, I don't know. We think about, sometimes we make him too small. That's what I'm saying. And we should not do that. And the Old Testament shows us when he does these huge, crazy things. And you're like, oh, right. He's God. That's big. So that's good. That's perfectly good.
I have a prayer partner who prays and thanks God for her organs one by one.
Wow.
For her fingers, for her toes, that her arms move. That her, and we are all, I'm always reminded, that's right.
Yeah.
But for him, would they move?
That's right.
Would they function? You know, would we have mountain peaks? Would they even be there?
But the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being.
So you're right.
That's good.
Yeah.
We forget that stuff. We shouldn't. It's easy to forget that stuff, but we shouldn't. I did talk about, I wrote a blog a long time ago called Window Shopping, and I talked about how if we try to make God into something we understand, that's no God at all. That's just something we invented as a human.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never understand God completely. We can and should try to get as much understanding of him as he has the mercy to give us, but we'll never fully understand him. He is and should be much bigger than our tiny humans can comprehend, our human brains can comprehend. So that was good. Let's see. It looks like Jan, you liked Genesis 49:10 for kingship. Would you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll read it first. Genesis 49:10, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So when I first read that, I zoomed right in on he to whom it belongs shall come, which is a nice long way of saying the Messiah. Like, even I figured that out. Right? When I read it, I'm like, oh, I must be talking about the Messiah there.
So that would actually be classified in prophecy also.
And prophecy, and that's, you know, just a little note I wrote to myself, that Jacob, as a dying man, he was dying, and he's talking to his sons, and Judah was one of them, right? Prophesies that the seed of Judah is the Messiah. So you're right.
All the way back in Genesis.
Yep. So that's two categories, right?
Prophecy. Yeah. And kingship. And that, that no matter what way humanity bends and flows, God's lordship will prevail. I mean, think of all the events that happened even just between Judah and Jesus. A lot of bending and twisting, including what we just read, a little diversion for the Israelites into Babylon, right, Shay? So a lot of winds blew across humanity between the time that Judah said that, that was prophesied about him, and when the prophecy was fulfilled. And it reminds us that no matter how, I take great comfort in that as a New Testament believer, because, you know, we think the times we live in are the worst the world has ever seen, and they're not. And we think this is the worst that could possibly happen, and it's not. It's just humanity being humanity. And these scriptures remind us God is still on the throne, and he's not giving the throne up, and he will be victorious in the end. And is victorious today. So I love that one. Thanks for picking that one. Okay, did we cover all three? Did you guys all three get one out of kingship?
Yep.
Okay, great. Is there more you want to say about kingship? Okay. So tell me some, just because I really want to keep this anchor really rooted. How does kingship itself point to Jesus Christ? How does it show me my need for salvation? And how does it teach me about God, my Father? Tell me, pick one. There's three of you and there's three things I just asked. So,
okay.
How does kingship point to Jesus Christ?
He's king.
Okay, so
he's
every
God
time,
in the flesh.
Right? So every time I see some reference to a king in the Old Testament, a human king or God as king,
yeah,
I can remember Jesus Christ is king. Mm. Right?
He's the lamb on the throne.
God is Lord and his kingdom belongs to his son, has from the beginning of time, always will, and that's the end of it. So every time I see the word king in the Old Testament, I can remember Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay. Then how does kingship, this one's a little harder, put on your thinking caps. How does kingship point to my need for salvation? I actually gave you a hint when I told you how I felt about kingship. How does kingship point to my need for salvation?
Well, ultimately, that's our destiny, right? Is salvation and being with our Lord in heaven. So as I'm thinking out loud here, I guess I'm, by knowing he's king and he is in control of who we are and where we go, that naturally points to our salvation and being with him.
Perfect. I'll actually ask you to say, you said a tiny little prayer to yourself. I happened to hear it right before we hit the record button. Do you remember what you said? You said order
my steps.
Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that? Why did you pray that right before we started recording?
Order my steps. Mm-hmm. Ask God to order my steps because I know if he orders my steps, I can't go wrong.
That's right. So how does that apply to my need for salvation or your need for salvation and God as our king? You guys are so deep. You're so deep into your faith walk. I think someone who's a newer Christian would have an easier time answering this question, because they're more acutely familiar, maybe, with what I'm trying to say.
But for our King, we'd have no salvation.
Yes,
we'd still be killing goats and
let me say this. His kingship, when I remember his kingship, remember I said, when you guys, I said, what does kingship mean to you? And you gave me your words and I said, I find it relieving because I know I need a savior. That's how it points to my need for salvation. How kingship points, you know, all through the Old Testament, the people kept asking for a king. Why? Because they knew they needed to be led better than they could lead themselves. And God, before he brought the first king in Saul, he was like, no, I'm your king. Mm-hmm. And they were like, give us a people king.
Yeah.
Give us a dude king.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give us a king we can see and be mad at. And
it's about our feelings.
Yes. And sure. And even in some core place, they knew they needed to be led. Now, listen, like I said, when I told you how relieved I am that I have a king, there are days that I want to do it myself. And there are days I do a good job of submitting to my king. But that doesn't change the fact that somewhere deep in my soul, I know I need to be saved for my own self. So to me, kingship reminds me of my need for salvation, because every time I try to be king over my own life, I mess it up. So every time I see king in the Bible, I can also think of my own need for salvation, because when I try to be king over my little kingdom, my house, even my dog, my cat. You saw my cat this morning. She doesn't listen to me. Nobody listens to me. When I try to be king, I fail. So anytime I see the word king, I can choose to let that be a reminder that I need that king in my life. I need that salvation. I need God to save me from myself, my flesh, and this world that I live in. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's how kingship points to the need for a savior. And then we talked already about how kingship points to God as our father and his character. So we already covered that. We won't cover it again. Hi, it's Holly. Thanks for being with us today on Study with Friends. This series is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. You won't find your classic homework assignment online at studywithfriends.org. But if you want to dig deeper, what I did was I created a 60 days in the Old Testament reading plan. So really what we did for this entire series, the five parts, covenant, kingship, grace, sacrifice, and prophecy, each have a section in that 60-day reading plan. If you look online, under the resources section, you'll find a 60-day reading plan, and it's the content that we used for this particular series. So you can do that on your own, or you can do it when you listen to these Bible studies that we've recorded. We thought it was something a little bit different that might be a blessing to you. See you next time on Study with Friends. Thanks for being with us today on Study with Friends. You can listen to this program again at studywithfriends.org. And there you can learn about the girlfriends around the table today. Each of us has a profile on the website. You can also make a donation if we've blessed you in any way. We certainly appreciate your donations and your prayers. Or if you'd like to email us, we would love that. info@studywithfriends.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media channel. We're active on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. See you next time on Study with Friends.